Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Read us where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Awing away, awing away, awing away, awing away, awing away.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's old Shazizz here. My heart goes out to all the good people of the world. I really shouldn't be doing this show today because the state of mind that I'm in is just not right. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm full of negativity, and I just think that I feel like I want to explode. I'm sickened by the whole world, the whole mess. You know, as I listened in on some of the other shows and hosts and stuff and all the things that are going on in the world, and I hear people finally reach their boiling point and they blow their stack and they go on this long rant of trying to express common sense and decency to the world and, you know, what's going on and all this kind of stuff. And I think that a lot of those words just kind of blew off in the wind, you know. It's just a lot of people heard, but nobody listened, you know. And it is discouraging to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this world is heading on a path to sure destruction. And it's not of super conspiracy / Planet X coming around to blast the planet. You know, that would just be a plus to top it all off. It's mankind. It's the humans of this world, the people out in this world who just do not get it. You know, you can't have no empathy for your fellow man and get anything accomplished in this world because there's so much selfishness and so much greed and so much ignorance that is just beyond comparison. We don't need Planet X to come and blast this planet. We don't need World War III to come and blast this planet. We don't need aliens to come down and assault us because mankind is doing a fine job on their own. They're killing each other. They're robbing each other. They're raping. They're looting. They're pillaging. They're lying. They're stealing. They're doing all kinds of dirty deeds under the table, over the table, behind people's backs, cutting each other's throat. And I sit here day after day, and this is probably going to be the only time that I use this phrase. I'm going to attempt not one time in this entire show to utter the words peace and love to the world because of the state of mind that I'm in. I sit here every single week I sit here every day that I'm on the internet reaching out to people all over the globe, and I utter those words over and over and over again. I speak common sense and say what I think needs to be said, that people can, you know, kind of keep their eyes out on the world and not live in fear and be absorbed by the propaganda that is the mainstream media and this increasingly become the alternative media. I've tried and tried and tried to reach out to the world, and I've tried to shout from my little mountain. I've tried to do everything I could to bring this world around, to opening their eyes to common sense. Sure, the world's been a mess since day one. Sure, there's been other apocalyptic scenes in our lifetime. Sure, every generation thought they were living in the last days. But regardless of all that, even in those times when somebody thought that it was the end of the world, did it change anything? Did it change the heart of man? Did it change the direction that the ship is going in as humanity or mankind? No, it didn't change nothing. It might have settled things down for a moment while everybody stood around the campfire holding hands and singing Kumbaya. But then, when everything mellowed out, just like some of the hypocritic Christians of the world that go out there to church on Saturdays or Sundays, whichever the day that they believe to be the Sabbath. And then during the week time, for 6 days of the week, they would go out and just create havoc upon the land. And this didn't limit itself to the Catholic Church or the Christian Church. It was in the Catholic Church. It was in the Muslims. It was in the Buddhist. It was in the atheist community. It was in the non-believers and believers as well. It was in the heart of humanity that people would go out and do each other wrong on a regular basis. And in some way or another, whether it be through their form of religion or their ways of justifying their own actions to themselves or to the world or to the people around them, it didn't stop. We are literally standing on the precipice of the end of the world. And it hasn't got nothing to do with God or war, or rumors of wars, or planets, or asteroids from outer space. Mankind is killing mankind. Man is destroying man. Man is starving man. Man is sickening man. You know, the atheists burn my hide every time they come out and they say, well, if God was such a wonderful being, then why? Why would he allow sickness? Why would he allow wars? Why would he allow all the terrible things in the world? Well, if you read the book like I read the book, if you understood the words like I understood the words, he said, don't do these things. But yet, here we are. There's starving babies in the world. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. There's propaganda, there's plagues, there's pestilence, robbing, raping, looting, and pillaging, ignorance all over the land. And yet, what do? The good people of the world, the ones with a heart that are trying to reach out to the other people of the world and trying to speak common sense, are getting mopped on a regular basis. They're being used for sponge and doormats. They're used for dust rags. Mops. And it sickens me to the core. No, I shouldn't be doing this show today. I shouldn't, you know, be King Shaziz the Terrible here on the Knights of the Round Table, where we seek solutions and common sense to try to bring about a better world. Because as I sit back with all the love in my heart for all of humanity and a dream, a vision of bringing this world together, is if not just one unified idea that peace and love and working together, I shouldn't be doing this show in the state of mind that I'm in. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm sickened by the whole mess. I'm aggravated at my own family members. I'm aggravated at the world. I'm aggravated at the system. I'm aggravated at the whole mess. What is it going to take for humanity to realize that you are heading down the path to sure destruction? Whether it be via World War III, or whether it be knuckleheads poisoning you via your water, your food supply, your air supply. What is it going to take to get the average Joe to get up off the couch and lose 5, 10, 15, or 100 pounds and get out there and help your neighbor mow their lawn? Or take some poor man some food or clothing? You know, there will come a day, and you can mark my words, you can put it on the calendar. There will come a day that even the most hardcore atheist will look out for some sort of divine intervention, some sort of divine common sense. That even if they don't believe in God, they're going to wish that there was a God. Because the scene that is going to unfold before your very eyes is going to literally bring about hell on earth. And it's all due to ignorance. It's all due to greed and stupidity and putting a blind eye to your fellow man. If there's a baby starving in the world, that's top priority. Because when that baby dies, a piece of all of humanity dies. If there's wars and rumors of wars and propaganda and crime and corruption and ignorance plaguing the land, and the good people are sitting down in fear because they can't stand up or they don't feel like they have enough power to do anything about it after we've been shouting it over and over and over again, trying to convince you of something that you should already know deep down in your soul. Whether you believe you're part of some sort of great universal cosmic energy, or whether you believe that you are the creation of a divine creator such as God himself, as I believe, or whether you just believe that we are here by accident, and that when you die and it's all over. The path being laid for the future of humanity is a sickening one. It is disgusting. It is disparaging. It is depressing. It is overwhelming. If you're a member of the Indian Nation and you hate the white man, then you're adding to the cause. If you're a white man and you hate the black man, then you're adding to the cause. If you are of any religious view and you hate somebody else because of their view, then you're part of the cause. If you are out there and you're a Democrat or you're a Republican and the only thing that you can see is the red or blue, then you are part of the cause. If you are watching poor people scatter across the border while drug dealers are shooting each other and all the craziness going on from every border of every single nation, and you're not standing up saying, hold on a second, you are part of the cause. You complain about the guns. You complain about your neighbor's grass being too tall. You complain about gas prices being too high. You complain about your government being out of control. You talk about conspiracy theories. You spread rumors. You spread lies. You spread propaganda. And you are not up being proactive and trying to do something positive in this world, then you, my friend, are part of the cause. Humanity is dying. This world is dying. We are heading down the path to sure destruction. Irrefutable, 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt. Where we stand is not a good place to be. Now we can reach out to each other and we can talk common sense back and forth all day long, every day, for 365 days a year. But until we get out there to our social communities and we start showing people that, you know, we're tired of the sickening stuff. We're tired of the spying. We're tired of the lying. We're tired of the propaganda. When somebody sends you something filthy and you don't stand up against it, you don't like it, but you don't say nothing about it, you're part of the cause. What more can I say? I'm sickened. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm angry at my own family. I reach out and I try to do something simple to bring about a little tiny request, to bring a small dream come true. And in my family, I spark off a revolution. I spark off a family feud of epic proportions. I'm told that I can't even keep peace in my own family, let alone try to preach peace and love to the world. So as old King Shiz is the Terrible, I say that I won't ever, from this point on, try to preach peace and love until the world finally gets it. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of breath. What do I have to do? What do I have to say in order to try to point it out to people in this world? If your government is corrupt, vote them out. Get up and walk away from them. Do something. If you do nothing, then nothing gets done. If you do something, then something gets done. It's as simple as that. If they're standing there telling you the world is coming to an end, look at the scientific facts of the whole mess and step back and look at the big picture before you run out and panic and do the Chicken Little and tell the world that the sky is falling. We don't need the sky to fall because mankind's doing a good enough job on their own. Mankind, we the people of the world, are doing a fine job of destroying the world. We don't need no outside influence. So with that said, I think I've done vented enough. I think I've done said what I could say. My babbling rant of epic proportions. It's just, here we are in the year 2014. We should be so much more further advanced in society than we are. Blame it on the Illuminati. Blame it on the secret societies of the world. Blame it on Satan himself. Blame it on whatever you want. But you got to give credit where credit's due. You hate your neighbor. I don't. You chose to be angry at your mom. I didn't. You chose to be hateful to your brother. You chose to be hateful to your neighbor. You chose to be hateful to a total stranger. You chose to be good or bad on a daily basis when that sun came up and that perfect slate was there before your very eyes to give you the stepping stone into the future. You wrote that story. You, the individual, wrote that story. And those around you who contributed to other people's stories by interacting with them in a negative way, you wrote that story. You put that sadness on their heart. Don't blame God. If you're blaming God and you're a hardcore atheist, then you're contradicting yourself. Because on one hand, you don't believe in God, but on the other hand, you want to blame God. If you're a Christian and you're blaming God, you're contradicting yourself. Because you're not practicing what you preach. If you're a Catholic, a Buddhist, or a Muslim, or any other religion out there, if you're a Muslim and you're strapping bombs to yourself thinking you're going to go to heaven, then you earned yourself a right bright spot in the warmest place of hell for taking out some innocent life that you didn't own. So it's sickening. Blame it on religion. Blame it on the government. Blame it on everything else, but don't blame yourself. Take no responsibility for your own actions. And judge everyone else out there in the world according to what you feel that they should have led their life like. In my book, Jesus said, "Let he without sin cast the first stone." And there was a one man among the entire crowd who was without sin. And so they all walked away because they could not cast the first stone. I'm saying looking deep into your own soul and see whether or not you are worthy to cast the first stone. If you're out there talking negative to somebody, if you're out there degrading somebody, if you're out there taking away the positivity that they're trying to put into the world, then the hell on earth that you will bring about is yours and yours alone. Because during that time, you'll be standing by yourself before your own judgment, before the world as it collapses. You personally will have to protect your own life when nobody else is standing by your side. You personally will have to try to figure out how to feed yourself. You personally will have to try to run for your own life. And if you think that my words are hollow, then mark it. Mark it on the calendar. O King Shaziz the Terrible, the crazy-haired mad science from the heartland of the good old satanic USA. You mark it on your calendar starting this July. You're going to see things unfold before your very eyes that are going to start moving so rapidly, so overwhelmingly, that it's going to engulf every single living soul on this globe. You're going to see things deteriorate so extremely fast. You're going to literally be standing there watching the beginning of hell on earth. And each and every one of you has your own spiritual journey to cross. But I guarantee you that each and every one of you, regardless of what your religious views are, regardless of what your political views are, you're going to beg for divine intervention. You're going to beg for some sort of divine common sense. Because we have allowed this train of corruption to get so far out of hand that it has begun. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it will come. That's all I can say. And if you hate me for it, then so be it. There's enough hate in this world to go around. There's enough people to despise me and despise you and despise each other. There's enough lack of love and unity and action in this world. We can't pull together long enough to pull off some sort of tiny miracle, let alone pull together to bring all the people together and keep them together and make this world a better place. Because either we're too busy trying to get famous, or we're too busy trying to get rich, or we're too busy out there trying to deceive one another, or we're too busy just sitting on the couch watching Dancing with the Freaking Stars, for Pete's sake. Until this world finally realizes that without your brother standing next to you, without his talent, without his skills, without your skills combined with his and your neighbors and everyone else, we have absolutely zero hope of turning this around. And the clock is no time to rush out and try to wake people up. There's no time. The clock has run out. So the only thing that we can do from this point on is try to make the best of a bad situation.
and begin to prepare ourselves and our neighbors, both spiritually and mentally and physically, for the hell on earth that is about to unfold before our very eyes. And maybe, just maybe, we can hold on to this dream long enough to get to the other side if there's anything left of humanity after this evil has done its job. Then maybe we can realize the dream and bring about peace and harmony across the land. And maybe we can learn from history and not repeat the same mistake again. But I'm saying, mark it, put it on your calendar. It has come to pass. This is coming from my own personal heart. It's coming from my own personal observations of the world. It's coming from my own personal spiritual beliefs and my own personal visions. You too have visions, and you need to pay attention. Thomas, how you doing, brother?
Sounds like I'm doing just a little bit better than you are for once, instead of doing worse. I haven't had that vision yet myself. Thank whatever, you know, people want to believe in there. So I have seen a lot of depravity, though. I mean, you know, like I was saying yesterday to some of the guys after the show was over, we've got a real problem here that stems, I think, from the idea of, you know, screw the kids.
Yeah.
You know, why do they screw the kids? Because if you try to screw each other, then, you know, you get a fight, you get a tussle. But, you know, unborn babies can't fight back.
Nope.
So let's lay a big tax burden on them, you know. They can't say no, you know. When they're born and they come into your family, what's the first thing people try to tell them? You owe me for your life.
Yeah.
Really? I owe you for my life? What? Show me the contract. Where did I sign a contract that said, if you give birth to me, then I owe you? You know?
Yeah.
No, it is our job to stop treating them like fruit hanging off a tree and cannibalizing them, and start treating them like what they are, which is basically a brand new human being that has no imprint.
Yeah.
And all the parent's job to either determine whether that child becomes a good person or become someone completely devoid of the ability to feel and care, you know?
The parent allows the state to issue their child a title, a stock that can be traded and bought and sold and will follow that child for the rest of their entire life. Their own parents sold their children into bondage from the day that they were born, by buying in to that system.
Well, like I said, though, the truth is right in the wording itself. It stems all the way back. I mean, there's not a single religion, and there's not a single ancient culture that hasn't called children fruit.
Yep.
You eat fruit. Why would you call your children food, you know, unless you're planning on eating them?
Well, you know, brother,
and this is, you know, permeated in our culture, and we have got to reach down inside ourselves with some self-awareness and dig that poison out and get rid of it, you know?
I try to uplift people. I try to tell people how powerful that their words really are. And people, I don't know, maybe some get it, maybe some don't get it, but the fact of the matter is, look what they've done to us with words alone. Go to a courtroom. If you say the wrong word, you're screwed.
Well, this is the thing, though. What they're not understanding when you say words are power is that words are the spark. They are basically like the switch on the wall. They're what starts the cascade. You know, they're the first domino.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's just like you say, if you step off this building, you're going to die. And they step off, and because it takes so long to fall, they're like, well, he must have been lying. I didn't die. Well, you know, I didn't say that you were going to die from the actual stepping off. I said you were going to die if you step off the building, because it precipitates an entire chain of events that will eventually lead you into a very quick, meeting with the ground.
Well said, brother. Well said. Say that again.
I don't know if I can.
Well, if you guys didn't hear that, then rewind the podcast whenever I put it up and listen to it again, because he just spit it all out. It plain, where's the common sense in this world? For, you know, in the laws of physics, who was it that said, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction?
Oh, you got me. Oh. I'm not sure who said that, but I know it's a fact.
I'm so frustrated that I can't even remember things anymore. It just, look, when you do something, when you say something, and when you act in a manner by which, either positive or negative, you cause something to happen. Of equal amount of void. All we are, we're like marbles bouncing around in a little circle. When you hit one marble, that marble goes in the opposite direction at the same speed you just hit it at.
Right.
So, with that said, when you open your mouth and you say something evil to somebody, you just perpetuated evil. And then you sit around and you complain to the world, oh, the world is so evil.
Actually, here's the thing that I see that's a problem with people's perception on that, and that's that when you described a marble hitting another marble, if you're hitting dead on, you can see the reaction almost immediately, like the way they hang them on the rails, and then they drop them so the one hits one end and the other one pops out of the other end.
Yeah.
But when you've got a big cluster of them where you're hitting them all in different, you know, different angles and different quantities of these marbles being hit at once and whatnot, it's not quite the same view. You don't realize you still put the same amount of energy in it, and it makes it seem like you put much less energy. So you feel the evil that you might have said out of that momentary lapse where you're upset and you said something. You have no idea just how much energy that has, because you're only seeing this diffusion.
Yep. And
you
somewhere
really, you got to gather it all together to see all of the energy you just put into that, and all the perpetration that just started now, where it keeps cascading into all these other people.
Somewhere in the corner of that circle, if that's not a joke, the corner of a circle, but somewhere in the corner of that circle is one little marble minding his own affairs, having a happy-go-lucky day, and to some extent, you jostle that one marble. And affect right. that day. So I just, you know, I can't get a grip on this. I can't comprehend if somebody in this world is reaching out for help, and nobody's willing to help because they think that there's something in this world that needs to be done more important than this one episode. In that person's mind, in that person's heart, it's a big deal. I'm going to tell you that I know for a fact that in that baby's belly over there, in that baby's mind over there in some third world country trying to drink some nasty old water, it is a big deal.
Well, and what's worse is there are people preying upon those who care using images of those children who are suffering like that.
Yep.
So that they can get something to put in their pockets. It's like, how can you possibly go, you know, justify to yourself going and getting people to give you money to go help these children, whether you're, you know, bringing food, you're bringing water, you're bringing light, you're bringing school books, whatever it is that you're saying you're going to do, how can you justify taking that money to do that and then turning around and going and, you know, blowing it on cocaine and hookers?
Yeah.
Like you're some CIA agent or something, you know?
I did.
There's no justification to do that unless you're not justifying it. You're just a psychopath that just doesn't care because maybe you were beat too much as a child, and they literally beat the emotion right out of you, you know? This is why I said we've got to stop this violence on the kids itself, you know?
Yep.
Stop being lazy and smacking your kids around to get them to stop doing things that you don't want them to do, and start sitting down with them and teaching them why you don't want them to do it and how, you know, it's going to harm them if they do. Children are not stupid. They are very responsive to that. I mean, I've sat down with many children, either helping with other people or whatever else, you know, that they've got kids, or I'm, you know, helping out, like I did it a couple times in a school and whatnot, or the other kids that I was around whenever I was a kid. And they always responded much better to common sense, discussion, and calm interactions than they did from being smacked and beat.
Yeah, and the only way to break those chains, the only way to break those chains is to not smack that kid in the first place.
Right. Force yourself to spend the time with them that you owe them.
Yeah, you brought them into the world.
You know. Yeah, exactly. This is the thing that I've noticed that might be a little easier for people to bring the image home to them, is that if you take a cat and say you've got it coming in, you got a pet cat, right, and it gets on your table and into the food, and you smack them to get it off the table, right? What happens the next time the cat thinks you're looking the other way, gets on the table, and then sees you coming to smack it off the table? Does it run away and respond to your, you smack them away? No, they don't. What they do is they buckle down and eat as fast as they can because they want to eat as much as they can before you smack them away. And children are going to respond the same way. They're going to do everything they can until the hand comes down.
Yep.
Because you haven't taught them that what they're doing is hurting them. You just said, do as I say and not as I do. You know, it's like, what is that, man? That's a bunch of double talk. And children are not that stupid. They'll see through that. You know?
You know, brother, it's like, sometimes I wished that I could take all these individuals of like minds and we could go around and we could freeze the world long enough to just scoot people over here, you know, out of the way of that punch coming for their face or you know, empty out all the bullets so when somebody pulls the trigger, either a flag that says bang or a flower pops out, you know?
Right.
But it's obvious we can't do that.
No, but there are people that are working pretty hard to try to make a change like this. And it's a very, very complicated, twisted, distorted, nasty mess that these people have created over something that's such a simple problem.
Yeah, you know, start off at home. Start off and raise your children to care about people.
Now, I was going to say, this is what I'm saying. When it comes to the complication, what do you tell the guy who's basically gotten a vasectomy because not only was he beat severely and treated terribly as a child, but as a response to that, he beat the other kids that were smaller than him in school up because he couldn't strike back the people who really he should have been hitting for beating him, which is his parents. They're bigger than him. And now he's grown up with this complicated, you know, nasty, like, rat's maze of, I feel guilty because of what I did. I feel, resentful and entitled because of how I was treated. And he can't split that all up and say, okay, no, the kid that I beat up, I should really feel bad for this kid, and I should empathize with him. The parents that abused me, I should be angry with them and decide that I'm going to learn from everything that they did so that I never, ever, perpetrate that anymore. And I basically kill off their legacy of pain, violence, and suffering that they are perpetrating,
Yep.
But they can't see that unless somebody who is really aware and is really patient gets in there and really just digs their fingers in and pulls that poison out of them so they can see what it is that they're dealing with, so they can process all that and be able to actually then move forward in a way where they're not going to continue spitting out this venom and this, bile on everyone else. Or they're just going to be, like the guy that, I saw in the show that was going through that exact same thing. They're going to become, emotionless and like a blank slate. So like when somebody's being harmed, because they're locked up in that rat's maze, they become ineffective to do anything to solve any problems either whenever they're standing somewhere where if they weren't, they could have solved it,
If you want to ever see what I look like when I'm angry, go back and do a video, and I can't even remember what the name of it. It probably says something like Shaziz is pissed. And if you really want to see what it looks like to see me angry, go watch that video and listen to what I had to say in that video. And I apologize if I said any curse words in that video, because I'm not sure what I said in that video. I was so mad. But I watched a video of some Chinese individuals that were literally pushing around and stepping on this baby's hand while he was sitting there down because of his color or whatever, for whatever purpose that they were doing this to this poor child. They were standing on his fingers trying to make him cry and just abusing this child right out in public. And although it made me really super mad that there were individuals who were actually doing this to the baby, what made me even madder were there were people standing around idly by and nobody, not one person, lifted a finger to help that baby. If that would have been me, I may have took the epic beating of my life. I may have even been killed for you know, trying to fight against the mob. But I would have put myself in between that baby, and I would have took every beating that I got from there, and I would have tried to get that baby to safety in some way, somehow, even if it cost me losing a tooth, an eye, or whatever. Because that's just the right thing to do. You don't stand on a baby's fingers. You know, a child, I don't care, you know, to me, a baby could be anywhere from 0 years all the way up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way up into the teen years. They come into this world, they look up at all the big people of the world, and they are at the mercy of the good hearts that they are going to be protected. They're going to be educated properly, you know, and guided through life. Not indoctrinated, not abused, not all the craziness that we hear going on in this world. And I'm not a violent man by any means. You know, if anybody knows me, they know my heart. But when I see stuff like this, I see the scales of justice so tipped off in the balance of by which it is just so evil and ludicrous. I find myself wanting to pick up a weapon. I find myself wanting to perpetuate the anger. I find myself wanting to go over there and mop somebody. But it's a never-ending cycle. You know? It's
the nuclear war. The only way to win a nuclear war is not to play in the first place.
Exactly.
You know?
Grab that baby, walk away.
We've got fools busy yanking and pushing those levers and, you know...
You know, I don't...
Because it didn't happen right that second. You know, this is why we haven't had a nuclear war and we won't have a nuclear war. The people who have the nuclear bombs know that if they release them, they have to suffer along with everyone else.
Yeah, they can't have that. They want to still keep up on their ivory tower. And it's hard to keep your ivory tower if everything's radiated and glowing in the freaking dark and the food ain't no good. And so what are they going to do? They're going to keep keeping all of us in fear of the threat of nuclear war. They're going to hang that over our heads. They're going to tell us, well, the...
And find other ways to get people to kick each other around.
Yeah.
The monetary system that we have now is nothing more than basically a bunch of ropes.
Stir the racial pot.
The arms of one group of people and around the necks of the next person, or the necks of the next person. So that anyone who's basically pulling their, you know, their rope that goes around their neck to get a little slack is basically, you know, by pulling their hands back a little bit to lean back a little bit so they can get some slack, they're choking somebody else out that they can't see.
Well, the monetary
have no idea that they're killing somebody else, you know.
The monetary system that we find ourselves in here in America should be a red flag whenever you pick up a penny and it is just so freaking corroded that you can't even hardly tell it's a penny anymore. It's not even made of copper. It's made of copper coated zinc, and if you wash it once, twice, you wash a quarter, you wash a nickel or a dime, it's corroded, it's worthless, it's trash. You couldn't even get a penny's worth of a penny out of a penny if you tried to salvage it for as far as the scrap metal alone. And so that ought to be a red flag.
There's a better earmark to look at than even that, though. What are they saying right now about the minimum wage?
Is it to raise it up to $10 of Monopoly money, or is it to...
15
bucks of Monopoly money.
And everybody thinks, oh, it's because I'm just not being paid well enough for, you know, for who I am, for what I'm worth, right? But the fact is, if you look in the in history, it was lower before because it was enough. So why is it not enough anymore?
Well,
what's actually causing... The need for more money? And the first thing, of course, everybody looks at is, oh, it's rising prices. Well, why do prices rise?
I tell you exactly why they rise.
It's inflation. It's inflation. Well, you're right, but it's not. The rising prices are not inflation. The you know, greed that you think the people who are raising the prices are not the problem. It's look at the root of the word. Inflation. Inflate. What does that mean? Well, you inflate a balloon. You fill it up and make it bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Well, inflation is means the inflation of the money supply. They're making way more money than there's anything to back.
They're doing something, Thomas, that you or I would go to prison for. They're counterfeiting.
Yes, exactly. They keep printing more dollar bills and putting them out there, punching numbers into a computer to create more numbers that, but that, you know, they're saying that they're going to back, but all they have to back by with back it with is either the things they've stolen from people through this fictitious system where they've driven them into bankruptcy and then went and foreclosed on their belongings, or their word, which is worth nothing. You know, it's worth nothing. I mean, these are the people that if they wanted to go around the world, they could do it with no problem with a hot air balloon because they've got plenty of hot air to spare.
Oh, yeah.
That's about all, you know?
Yeah, and their inflated heads and egos could just take them all over the universe, man. You know?
So
it sickens me. It sickens me to the core.
This is the thing, though. What are they using to do this with? They're using concentrated power to do it. Where did the concentrated power come from? Somebody stood up, had a semi-good idea, and everybody rallied around them. And then as soon as that person stepped away and didn't have the smart idea and the good sense to keep running things like it should be, somebody else saw that concentration of those people, that power that those people have given that position.
And extorted it.
it was an attraction, like, you know, a bee flying along and just smelling this wonderful smelling flower and just was immediately attracted right straight to it. Or that bear that's walking along and smells all that, you know, gallons and gallons of honey sitting somewhere. It's like, ooh, and goes straight for it. It's an attraction for people who have an addiction to power. And, I mean, there are studies that prove that political power is more addictive than cocaine or heroin. The power over other human beings' lives is more addictive than these drugs. And we've created this massive, intense concentration of it. So, of course, it's attracting the most addictive personalities that are prone to abusing people. Because the reason they're addicted to things is because they were abused as a child. They became an abuser from being abused. They learn about abuse by being abused, you know? Your children learn about love by you loving on them, or they learn about hate by you hating on them.
Yeah.
They learn about not caring about anybody by your neglect.
And
whatever you feed them, they grow on.
You set a real good example whenever you're sitting around telling racist jokes to all your family while your children's ears are wide open, and then they go and repeat that on down the line, and suddenly there's a difference between the white boy and the black boy. Wait a second, he's got curly hair and his skin's dark. He's not like me. I don't want to hang around him. That seed was planted in that child's mind.
The Nazis did a perfect example of showing just how acute it can get. Because it wasn't even a matter of it being good enough if they all had white skin. No, they had to have blonde hair and blue eyes. And it was a very specific thing, and everyone else was subhuman as far as they were concerned.
Yep.
You know? I mean, you can get as extreme as you want with this. It's a never-ending cycle of, you know, psychotic depravity. And you have to, the only way to stop it is to put your foot down right now. Period.
They've started...
This is the line. We're not going any further.
They've started wars on all fronts, brother. They have started wars. And when I say they, I mean those folks out there who have the power, who have the money, who have the influence, who have the TV networks, and who have the governments in their pocket. These folks out there, I don't care whether anyone wants to call them Illuminati or Freemasons or whatever they want to call them or whatever label you want to put on them. These are some selfish, greedy individuals who have started wars on all fronts. When you take a society such as the Jewish community and you paint them with a wide brush, not every Jewish individual is an evil individual. Not every Muslim is an evil individual. Not every Christian.
That's the thing that people have to understand is that there is no specific type of human being that holds a monopoly over psychopathy. There is no specific race, no specific religion, no specific nationality that holds a monopoly over psychopathic behavior. Every human being is capable of being either really loving, emotional, and having empathy, or being extremely cut off, selfish, self-centered, and having the human part of their brain turned off so that all that's left is their lizard brain. It doesn't matter who they are, you know? Yeah. So you can't listen to these people when they're demonizing somebody because of how much money they have, or, you know, whether they're a woman or a man, or whether it's, you know, fat white guys, or, you know, drug addict, you know, black kids, whatever it is that they're going to use to basically paint a brush on somebody, you know?
Yeah, don't give
that... say that they're all about this or all about that, you know?
Don't give that homeless man no money because he's going to go out and buy booze or liquor. Seriously, don't do it, you know?
You know, here's the thing about that. That guy has been through something terrible. Otherwise, he wouldn't be where he's at. And that booze or liquor he does go and buy might be the only solace he has left in this world.
Yeah.
Because no one will give him a chance. No one will, you know, pick him up and dust him off and help him. You know? I mean, are people that selfish? If they're not willing to sit down and help somebody and work with them to help them rebuild their life, that they would at least, you know, not even at least, you know, give them it's like finding a cancer patient. And you're not even willing to give them a shot of, you know, some painkillers to help them through the pain they're going through. Well, because that cancer patient is a drug addict now, because they're using drugs to alleviate their pain. Those drug addicts,
yeah.
You know? Like, what? Are you serious?
When I pick up my Bible, my book, whether you guys out there in the world believe it's fictitious or some sort of top secret conspiracy or something like that, regardless of what you think, the words that I read from this deal right here, it tells me in this book right here that thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say, it doesn't have any clause, subsection A, article B, in the fine print that says if, and, or, whatever. It just simply says, thou shalt not kill. And when I listen to the words of the man, whether it be fictitious or not, portrayed as Jesus, and he talks about loving thy neighbor and doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and so forth and so on, and honoring your mother and father, those are things I believe in. So these are the reasons why I call myself a Christian. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't a Christian. Jesus Christ wasn't even a religion. Jesus Christ, in my book, was the Christ. And I call myself a Christian because I conform to the beliefs that I believe that was right. And there wasn't anything in there where Jesus told me to strap a bomb to myself and go out and kill anybody. They specifically said, no, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't do all this bad stuff. And it should have been common sense. But as I listen to folks out there and they paint all Christians with the same brush, they don't know me. They don't know me, the individual. They don't know that individual Muslim. Whether I'm misguided by some sort of text that was written thousands of years ago, or whether the other guy is misguided by some sort of text, or whether our education has played an extreme factor in our actions and our beliefs or whatever, I'm on a spiritual journey of my own. This is where I stand right at this point in time. You know? I have been abused when I was a child. I could tell you stories that would curl your toes. But I changed. I took those chains and I broke those chains. And I pulled myself towards the light. I pulled myself towards what I believed to be my peace and my harmony. Now I have individuals all over the world trying to convince me that all the beliefs that I have are worthless. And it's not their right to tell me that my beliefs or my life is wrong. If they were going to do anything towards guiding me towards what they believe to be the right way, they should be out there leading by example. They should be out there living their life and practicing what they preach. If you're an atheist out there and you're using filthy language to try to put across to your view that there is no effing God, there is no this, there is no that, and you blanking Christians and all this, you started all the wars. No, sir. The Christians...
Hold on. Let me go back to what you're talking about, that particular type of person. That's not an atheist. I'm sorry to have to say this, but I mean, I don't believe in dragons. Do you hear me running around and trying to convince everyone that there are no dragons? there are people who believe in dragons. There are people who love to, you know, make stories and make up all kinds of stuff about it and talk about it. But that I literally have no inkling of desire to ever approach those people and try to get them to stop doing that.
But
so if they were truly an atheist, if they really did not believe there was absolutely no God whatsoever, they would have absolutely zero desire to attack you for believing.
Yeah, and that's my point. That's my point. Even in the atheist, the non-believer community has been distorted. The true atheist might be the most loving individual and, you know, hey, you believe what you want to believe and it's wonderful with me and I'll be your friend just the same, you know. But then you've got the folks that go out there, they not only distort Christianity, they distort Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and they distort everything. And then it gives religion a bad name. You can't be religious because it's taboo. You can't speak the word Christ in your own church because you might offend somebody. You can't believe in your God. You can't practice your freedom of religion, your freedom of speech or anything. Somebody out there has to tell you what you can say or what you can't say. And if anything, I would subscribe myself to the true anarchist. I mean, the true anarchist. Not the anarchist that's wanting to go out there and do harm to people and bust up stuff and just everybody do whatever you want and rob and rob and rape and loot and pillage and just have the party of a lifetime. I'm talking about the self-governing believer of the anarchist. So even in the anarchist community, a war has been started amongst the true anarchist. Maybe even we can go as far as to say even the true socialist or the true communist, those who believed in the initial deal. See, every communist is bad. Every anarchist is bad. Every Christian is bad. Every Muslim is bad. This is what they want everyone of we, the people, to subscribe to so that we're continuously arguing and fighting amongst each other. When all along...
That's exactly what I said. The bus rolling down the road with the black guy and the white guy fighting over who gets to sit in front and who gets to sit in the back. It was perpetrated specifically so while they're arguing, they would not notice the fat guy in the limo rolling by laughing at them while he's riding in the back seat of his car.
It's not the Christian doing it. It's not the Buddhist. It's not the Muslim. It's not. It's truly not, man. It is the ignorance of man doing it. Stop blaming.
That's just it, is that most people of all these religions, with the little bit of an intolerance that they're taught, are not really that... you know, willing to jump up in arms over something that they've been, you know, they believe in their religion as being wrong when someone else outside their religion does it.
You know what?
Until they're agitated, until somebody agitates them on purpose and they have an ulterior motive when they do it.
You know what I would do as a Christian if I was seeing a Muslim being killed? I'd rush in there and I'd put my own life in jeopardy because I'm supposed to love that Muslim. I'm supposed to love that Buddhist.
Preaching to the choir. I have a friend I had to talk down off a ledge because he was really questioning everything he had ever done or doing anything to help anyone at all because he jumped in between a group of very large, burly rednecks and two Middle Eastern guys that were being picked on at a Denny's. And probably saved at least one, if not more, of those kids' lives, and their faces turned up on that world on the World Trade Center 9/11 incident.
That's sad, man.
I had to explain to him, look, you have no choice over what a person does with their life after you give it to them. That's their choice. They have to be responsible for what they did.
Exactly. I tell my kids that all the time. My kids will come there and they will complain, well, this guy hit me and so I did this and I did that. And I said, look, Mark is responsible for Mark. Jessica is responsible for Jessica. Kara is responsible for Kara. And Chris is responsible for Chris. Even if that other one was to hit you, what you done after that was your decision. It wasn't their choice. What they did didn't cause you to do what it is. You chose to do what you did. And so both of you are wrong. Was it right that they hit you? No. You should have came to Dad and had Dad sorted out, you know, in a peaceful manner. We could have fixed this whole deal. But instead, you guys were fighting, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's as simple as that, brother. But it sickens me whenever I sit around and I listen to all the conspiracy guys out there, and I hear this word Jew come out. The word Jew. Oh, the Jews this, the Jews that, the Christians this, the Christians that. I'm a Christian. I'm telling the entire world that I'm a Christian. And if you don't like me as a Christian, if I don't walk the path, then don't follow that path. If I don't practice what I preach or live by example, then don't socialize with me.
That's something that probably should become an earmark, is that, you know, any religion or any part of a religion that begins to insist on inserting itself in everyday life rather than just being a part of basically, you know, what makes it easier for you to sleep at night, because you know what's, you believe and know what's going to happen to you when you die.
Well, if I want to,
should be immediately castrated off of that religion and those people's actions, so they're not going around hating on other people because they don't subscribe to their own belief. I mean, this is the thing, we've got to define the difference between what's moral for a religion and what's truly right, as in, like, it doesn't matter what God or non-God you believe in, these things you don't do. You do not rape and murder children.
That's right.
I don't care what religion you belong to, it's not right. Okay? You don't want to be raped and murdered. You don't go and rape and murder someone else. Universally preferable behavior. If you don't want to be stolen from, you don't steal from other people. If you really, and this is the thing, is that it's a self-defeating mechanism to break outside of that. If you don't mind people stealing from you, then they're not really stealing from you. And you don't really, you know, you see how that kind of ends up breaking down, where you can't really steal if you don't allow other people to steal from you?
Yeah.
If you just give everything away, you know? I mean, so it has to be a universally preferable behavior. You don't want to be beaten and hurt and pinched and you know, slapped and knocked around and your nose crushed, so you don't do those things to other people.
That's right.
You don't want people taking your things from you, so you don't do those things to other people.
And if I want to believe in the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy or, you know, a divine creator, and that makes me feel comfortable and that helps me live my life and enjoy my life.
That's fine, as long as you don't start following, you know, a part of that belief. You don't start, you know, telling people that the Easter Bunny says that you should go and kill other children with, you know,
exactly.
That's where you're crossing the barrier. You know?
Judge me. Judge me by my actions. Judge me by my life. You know, if you're going to judge me at all, judge me by what I say and what I do. Not what somebody else did. Whether, you know, there were some evils that were done by any, underneath the guise of any religion out there. You know, when you paint with a wide brush, you know, I have Cherokee Indian blood in me. My great grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee Indian. All right, and my grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee. I have Cherokee blood in me. Okay, so it's slightly watered down because I also have French Canadian in me as well. And so there's a mix in itself, you know.
Right.
But
let me stop you for just a second. And let me add to what you said earlier. You said if you paint with a wide brush. I have to say, if you paint with a wide brush, man who paints with wide brush gets paint on carpet.
Yep.
Man who paints with wide brush gets paint on window, you know?
Yeah.
Stop doing it. Stop it, you know? Be more precise. Whenever you're going after somebody, go after them for what they did, just like you said, you know? You don't go out and attack everybody that wears blue baseball caps because someone with a blue baseball cap molested and killed a child. No, you go find the guy who actually did it.
Yeah, exactly.
And still with him.
Do I agree with what? Do I have hatred in my heart for the white man who came over and stole the Indian land? No, because number one, I wasn't there. Number two, it's not in.
Now hold on, though. This is the thing. You can have all the hatred you want for those people, but they're long dead.
But what I'm trying to say,
that's a boat that has sailed. There is no more anger and hatred that can be perpetrated on that anymore because those people are all in graves.
Yeah, but
the people here now did not ask to be put here.
But what I'm trying to get to...
Black, Indian, it doesn't matter. They did not ask for that. So, yeah, we've got to stop hating on each other now that we're here. But, we're here. We've got to deal with each other.
But what I'm trying to get to is I come to the realization that though I despise the actions of those individuals who done anything like slavery or tormenting the Indians, I come to the realization that the forefathers or the generations that followed after were not responsible for the actions of the evil men and women who sat idly by and allowed anyone to have harm done to them. I know that the Indian standing next to me isn't the bad guy. I know that the Jew standing next to me isn't the bad guy. The Christian standing next to me isn't the bad guy. You know, whether they're misguided by false teachings that led all the way up to being the person that they are, I have come to the realization as a Cherokee Indian / French Canadian that I don't hate either side for the actions of the knuckleheads that were stupid enough or evil enough to do the terrible deeds that led to...
Or desperate enough.
Yeah, that wrote that history. What I'm trying to say is when you paint anyone with a wide brush, you're cheating not only them, you're cheating yourself out of a potential friend, a family, something. You understand what I'm trying to convey here?
But it's a short-sightedness of the word combating, actually, just like we said earlier, you know? The marble that strikes several other marbles does not really fully comprehend the amount of energy it put into those other marbles. Because it can only look at one marble at a time, you know?
Yep.
So...
And when you're in your little bubble in your world and you're running around spewing out negativity, you don't see what's behind the other door. You know, you just socked this guy in the nose and he went around the door, slammed his fist into something, and, you know, somebody said, "What's wrong with you?" And he's so mad that he just can't control his own temper and socks somebody else in the face, and then it just dominoes on down the line. But did you see that happen? No, you didn't see that happening, because you went tiptoeing through the tulips carefree in your day thinking, you know, hey, whatever's whatever, you know, so what? So what? Seriously? And then you're going to sit around and complain at the world? You're going to blame God?
Or as some of these people say, they put it behind them.
Yeah.
Really, you just put it behind you, huh?
Yeah, you put it behind you, all right.
What kind of a non-human are you that you can just put someone else's suffering you caused them behind you?
You left a trail of destruction behind you that is still rattling and resonating today, because that trail of destruction that you left whenever you watched that black man get hung and you didn't do nothing about it. You just left that resonating, and so now, to this very day, people hate white men because of what one white man did. People hate black men because of what one black man did. People hate Muslims because of what one Muslim did. And in the media out there, shame on the media. They propagate. They keep on perpetuating. They will put stories out there of negativity. You know, they will emphasize a white man attacks a black man attacks a white man, and suddenly all the white men are out there thinking that their women and their children are in danger from the black man. And so when the white man wanders into the black man's community, he won't go down there and say, "Hi, brother, how are you doing today? Is there anything that I can help you with? Or maybe you won't go fishing or nothing like that." No, he rolls up his windows and he locks his door as he goes through that town because he's afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is what the system is doing to the people, and this is what the people are allowing to go on.
Yep. Mostly, and this is the thing, is that most of it is because they really feel there's nothing they can do.
And there
they're paralyzed. They're paralyzed with, you know, their lack of potential that they see themselves having. They're feeling impotent, basically. You know, what can I do? What can I do? Well, that's just it, you know.
And you know what?
You're going to continue to have that problem until you step up and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about it no matter what.
You know what else sickens me about the whole deal there, Thomas, is that, you know, when all this stuff is going on in society, and when I know the past, and I know the history, and I know that in certain communities there's distrust of other races and stuff like that, I made a friend yesterday while I was out there at the lake, and it was a black family out there. I made a friend out there, this black guy, and I can't even remember his name. I have trouble remembering names, period. But either way, I gave this man a fishing lure, and I talked to him about fishing, and I talked to him about life. But there was some little portion of me that, while I was standing there talking to him, I was apprehensive because I didn't know how he was raised, and all I had to gauge was his reaction and his kindness and stuff like that. But at some portion of me wasn't able to fully connect with this individual because of his color. That in the back of my mind, I would be thinking, wondering what he was thinking about me, or, you know, feeling as if I had to make something up to him because of his color. And that wasn't the case. I went over and had the conversation, and I had his friendship with out of love of my fellow man. I looked past the color. I didn't see the color outside of what I had been indoctrinated into believing. The black man's a terrible man, or whatever, you know, or they hate us because of racism, or they hate us because of slavery, or whatever. And so it took away a big part of what the enjoyment could have been between me and this individual because of somebody else's stupidity, somebody else's distorted view on the world. You see where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was cheated.
I see it in other people. I mean, I guess I was fortunate enough that I ended up actually growing up in a much more mixed culture, apparently, because, like, you know, it's that whole adage, you know, I'm not a racist. There are three black people at my party. No, if you can know exactly how many black people are at your party, you're a racist. There's a part of you that is still
that. If you have to justify talking to a black man,
that are black or Oriental or whatnot, I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
If you have to stand there and justify, you know, and prove to the world that you have black friends, or you did something good for the Chinese guy or the Japanese guy or anybody from any other race, then you have been affected in your life, and something is seriously wrong with that. If you could just walk up to this person, regardless of color, not even give it a second thought. I'm being kind to this man where nobody else would be kind to this man. There is an underlying problem that started back whenever you were a child and you were around a bunch of racist hypocrites that, on one hand, would say that they would do anything for anyone and then turn around and tell racist jokes and laugh, and then other people who knew it was wrong would sit there and laugh with them.
Well, you know, that's the thing, though. When you watch somebody say something like that, I got to point this out, man. If they say they'd do anything for someone, for anyone, and then they turn around and don't do something for someone for whatever minuscule reason it is, they have just made a liar of themselves, and they show themselves as what they're saying when they're saying, I would do anything for anyone, is do lots of stuff for me because I've now presented myself as being this kind and gentle person. You know, I've tricked you into thinking that I'm a great person. It's a form of manipulation, you know?
Yeah, and it's sad, man. It's sad. I've sat around.
Parents do it.
Parents do it.
I would die for you, but then they won't sit down and actually, you know, watch like a show about philosophy that you really care about because it bothers them, because they're looking at that show and they're hearing the words coming out of it and they're realizing mistakes they've made as a kid. As a parent to their children, you know. So they've just shown now, whenever they said, I'd do anything, I would die for you, they really won't do anything for them. And if they, you know, would die for them at that point, then basically that means that there are things that are worse than death, that they're actually less willing to look at the mistakes they've made while raising their child than they are to just face the you know, great void beyond and whatever, you know, they believe comes after that, you know? Mm-hmm. An end to everything. Here, it's over. Versus face and own up to some mistakes you made and, you know, feel sorry and, you know,
and move
really
on.
Really care about how it has affected your child, you know, actually empathize with them for what you've done to them, you know?
And do something to fix the problem, man.
This is the thing, though, you don't even have to do that. That's just it. You're not processing it, and then it doesn't matter. You can't even move to that point. What if it's, you know, something that's long since happened and there's nothing you can do about it now?
Well, then you try not to repeat the same mistakes that you made in the past. You learn.
That's that's one thing, but I think the most important thing they can do is try to change as a person internally by processing what they did and realizing just how terrible it was that they did, because that guarantees they won't do it again.
Before you judge the world.
Don't do this to other people, because I know because it's a terrible feeling when you find out just how bad what you've done to people is, you know.
Before you judge the world, you should be judging yourself. You should be looking in the mirror. You should be seeing, do I have the right to cast this stone? And then what are the consequences if I do cast this stone? Will I go down into the future with remorse in my heart that as I cast that stone, I brought harm upon somebody? You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, and this is a thing, too, though, is that that actually...
I lost you there, brother. Thomas? Did you go away? Must be a trouble with the call. Okay, we got you back, brother. Somebody doesn't like what we're saying.
Yeah, I don't know what part of that you guys heard, but you know, all I was saying is you can't distorting, you know, self-preservation and stuff like that when somebody else is purposefully perpetrating violence on you. You know?
Yeah,
sort all that out afterwards, but you know, don't let somebody kill you for the $20 you have because they found you in your bedroom and decide to attack you to get that $20.
Yeah, but the simple moral of that falls all the way back to judge not lest ye be judged, is what the simple moral of that is. And when I talk about casting the first stone, do I have the right to cast the first stone at other sinners because I'm a sinner myself?
Right.
You know? And so until mankind can actually get down to that and stop blaming everyone for everything in the world instead of blaming themselves, you think about it while you're sitting there on the couch. You think about, what have I done to benefit humanity today? I mean, it's easy to say, what have I done to make my life a better life? You know, I went out, I mowed my grass so my kids have something to, you know, a nice little lawn to play on and stuff like that. I put food in my belly and I can prop myself up for all the positivity that I've done in my own little world, and it's a wonderful life. All right? I can give myself credit right on the chalkboard and be frustrated that somebody doesn't recognize the kindness that I've done. But I haven't answered the question yet. What have I done to go out and make a difference in humanity as a whole? Is it my job to go out and save the world? No, but it's my job to try to put something in there that's going to help the cause of saving the world. Otherwise, I have no right to sit around and complain. If I'm not paying attention to what the Republicans doing or what the Democrats doing or the Libertarians doing, and they get elected in office and they fall into corruption and crime, and I am not willing to stand up and voice my lack of agreeance with what they're doing, then I have no reason to complain. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I just did my part there to make the world just a little bit better.
Yeah, you did.
Those videos, do me a favor, pass that around, because even though there's going to be a lot of stuff in this guy's videos that people are not going to be comfortable watching, the reason they're not comfortable watching it, it's because it's digging at something that's infected in their life.
Yep.
You know?
I didn't
like... He gets into a lot of the disproportionalization that we go through with patriarchal versus feminism and whatnot. He goes into, you know... I mean, the primary thing he hits an awful lot, though, is how to, you know, have better kids. You know, whenever you get done raising them, they're better people. That's the most important thing he keeps pushing for is, look... Don't make monsters, you know. Do everything you can to give those children a chance to be the best people they can possibly be, you know. Give them empathy. Give them, you know, the ability to care and the ability to negotiate with each other, the ability to get together and have, you know, interactions where everybody wins instead of always having to get together and somebody has to lose in order for somebody else to win, you know, that kind of stuff. He really pushes that hard, but he touches on this multitude of various things that, you know, some of these things are going to, you know, be very poignant to those people that go in there to look at that, and it's going to bother them. And I'm telling you right now, anybody listening right now, if it bothers you, there's a reason why it's bothering you. It's because you have something wrong with you you're not willing to address. Watch the videos. Force yourself to sit down and go through it. Even if you have to get up, pace around, and process what you're hearing, pause it and then come back to it. Once you're done processing, finish watching it. You can disagree if you want, but at least consume the knowledge and the benefit that this guy and all the people that work with him are trying to give to people to try to make the world a better place.
Well, throw those links up in the chat room there over on ShazizRadio.com for people to take a peek at.
I've been remiss on that. I don't have that link open.
Okay, well,
let me open your page up. I don't do it because if I'm going to be on the show, if I'm playing in the background, I hear a delay, like a really bad delay that makes it impossible.
That's all right. You could always drop them in. You could always drop them in there later. We'll get the links out there so people can take a peek at it. You know, I've seen a lot of videos out there that just disgust me, and I watch them because I want to get both sides of the story. It's that whole scale of justice thing, you know. I want to get to the truth, you know. But at the same sense, I don't want to sit there and watch people sit there and paint everyone in this world with a wide brush. I don't want to sit there and listen to people blaming everyone else in the world for their own, for everyone else's troubles instead of them blaming themselves. If we can't hold ourselves accountable, how can we hold the world accountable? You know what I mean? And in order for us to make this world a better place, it's going to start with us raising our children and leading by example. You know, the best way to teach love is to show love.
Right.
Anyway, I think I need to take me a coffee break, man. I think, you know, I've ranted, I've raved, I've stressed. You know,
you've definitely done some processing of your own today.
Yeah.
It's, the world gives us an awful lot to have to process, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother, you brought a lot of good things to the table today, and we can take a breather and come back and try to bring the rest of the common sense to the table, and maybe some of the other knights might want to show up or whatever. That would be a great deal. So I'm gonna go ahead and throw in a couple tunes, and
okay. My cup is gonna thank you big time because it's completely out of ice itself.
All right, good deal. And the first song I'm gonna throw on there, I like it, Deep Purple, Perfect Strangers. And the second song, I'm sure you guys already know what that is, but you know, whether you like the artist or whatever, they speak to me, and, you know, I'm a lyrics kind of guy. You listen to the lyrics, and there's something going on in the world, and you really ought to pay attention because the road that we're on, it sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the nicest way to say it. Anyway, stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Can you remember?
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. You've heard me being frustrated. You heard a lot of things said and common sense and all that kind of stuff. Am I talking to the nations of the world and telling we, the people, that we need to stand up and have a violent revolution and overthrow our governments of the world? No, sir. No, ma'am. I am not talking about a violent revolution of the world. What I am talking about is a peaceful revolution of your own body, your own mind, your own soul, to lead by example, to do whatever it takes to make your world a better place around you, and spread that positivity out into the world, and do the best you can with what you have to work with. It's the inaction that we have the problem with. It's not the action that we have the problem with, because we need more people to be proactive out there, not going out there and bashing windows in and burning down your own communities or rioting against each other and all that kind of stuff, but going out there and trying to uplift your fellow man. You know,
that's just it. If you just do your own research and go out and have a look at all the people that are around you, it doesn't take very much to figure out that the good people actually outweigh the broken people who are doing the harm.
Yep.
The reason they're doing so much damage and nothing good is getting done is because the good people aren't doing anything to counteract the bad that the bad people are doing.
And on that note, I'm going to play one more song, and I'd like everybody to listen really closely to the lyrics of this song. One more song. And I want everyone to listen closely to the lyrics, and then I want to come back and get some insight from the knights, because there's a lot of wisdom at the table. There's a lot of wisdom at your table if you just take the time to listen to it. So even if you're not a rock and roller, listen to this one song. Just listen to the words of this song, and let's see what comes out of it. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible here. I'm sitting around, and it looks like we've been joined by some of the other Knights of the Round Table. Who all we got in here, Thomas?
Well, I see Larry, or me, and you, but it looks like you had added somebody. Larry,
I
didn't make it in.
Thought I seen a Carlos in there a second ago.
Yeah, I see the name. It says Larry added them, but they're not there anymore, apparently, unless I can't see them or something. Are you there, Carlos?
Nope, apparently not. Well, maybe they'll join in later there. So
yeah, they might be having issues with Skype. It seems like that was the case yesterday, was people were having a lot of trouble getting it to stop making auto-adjustments for them.
when you guys heard the lyrics of that song, did you really listen to what was being said in that song? No? Words, man. Words, I'm telling you. Even back in the as far as you can go in time, and even back in the day, 1800s, or well, let's go even farther back, 1700, 1800, 1900s into the modern day area, you know, people back then were struggling with all kinds of things. They were seeing things, and they should have been warning signs, and those folks should have acted back then in order to try to, you know, stop the abuse of people in general, and guide their children into a better world. But the fact that we're here in the year 2014 still having this discussion about how to make this world a better place, and that humanity hasn't grasped the concept yet, and that there's a world full of kings and queens that'll blind your eyes and steal your dreams, and there's a battle between heaven and hell going on. Regardless of whether you want to call it good or evil or whatever kind of label you want to put on it, the actions of all of humanity are sending us down the path to sure destruction. And it just hasn't stopped. And should we stand idly by and say we're hopeless and there's nothing we can do about it? Let's just I can't fix the world, or should we at least attempt to, on a small scale, individually, on our own, start trying to make the world a better place by ourselves? You know, I, as a one individual, old King Shaziz the Terrible, the worst guy that ever lived on the planet, is freaking sitting here trying to speak common sense. So if I can figure it out, what could you do in your own personal life to benefit your children, first of all, because your children are the future founding fathers of the future generation of the world? And so when you put the beat down on your children, chances are when they have their own children, they're going to put the beat down on their children. And so if you want to break those bonds.
Let me interject something else here, too. You're not just putting violence in those children. Something somebody posted here earlier on Facebook. It's I don't know if you guys ever heard of a resource-based economy, but you know, it's a group of people that want to move away from money, which, you know, I think that's probably a pretty good goal and whatnot, as long as you're not forcing people into doing this or that or the other thing. But, you know, they said, what if the cure to cancer is trapped inside the mind of a child who can't afford an education? And the first thing that came to my mind was, what if the cure to cancer and world hunger was trapped in the mind of a child that was getting it beat out of their mind
by yeah.
their parent or their caretakers, instead of being, you know, loved on and taught how to access their mind by teaching them and caring about them? And, you know, my addition to this, of course, in parentheses, is this is not a what if. This is a fact. Somewhere this is happening right now. Maybe next door or down the street, or maybe it's in your own home, you know?
Yeah. It's real. We're not talking Planet X. We're not talking Planet Nibiru or Comet Elenin or something coming bashing from the sky. Those are all things that are beyond our control. If those are going to occur, they're going to occur. You know?
Right. But I mean, like I said, the thing is, you're not just beating, you know, violence into these children. You're beating out the good that's in them. The positive that could, you know, change the world. You're destroying it.
Well, that's what I was trying to get to by the exaggerated extremes of all the doomsday scenarios in the world. The doomsday scenario begins in your very home when you turn around and you beat the intelligence out of that child that could be the cure for the next cancer or next disease or the next good person that's going to go out there instead of starting a war, instead of delivering hate and contempt and racism throughout their entire life, will be out there doing something positive towards the world. And so...
Well, and that's just it. If we started really pushing for this, in one or two generations, we could literally go from people setting themselves on fire and laying down in front of tanks to stop war to literally everyone that's being sent to go to war just lays their helmet down and their gun down and says no.
Yeah.
And walks home. And that's it. I mean, then you can't have a war.
Yep.
If nobody's willing to fight, there can't be a war.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. You couldn't have said it any better, man. If you ain't willing to pull the trigger, then nobody's going to die.
Right. Well, and it's a known fact that people who are, you know, drafted or their first, even if they sign up to go to war, when they first get in there, they find that they almost always miss because these guys are shooting overheads and whatnot because they don't want to actually hit these people. Even on a subconscious level, they don't want to hurt somebody else. And they have to literally go through all this crazy indoctrination to get them to actually do the damage that they're doing.
Yeah, so that ought to be a sign.
And these are people that have been through the abuse. You know they've been through something. If it wasn't their parents, it was a teacher. If it wasn't a teacher, then it was some, you know, unknown person or a babysitter.
Bully, a friend.
The bully in school that beat them up. Whatever. They went through something. Even if it was just emotional abuse where they basically, you know, were constantly talked down to and told that they were no good at things by their fellow peers at school. They've gone through something like this, and yet they still don't want to shoot that other guy that's shooting at them. They're purposefully missing them.
Yep.
You know, the good does outweigh the evil. We just have to stop sitting on our hands, get up and do something. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Just pick something and do it for the day. And then the next day comes around, find something to do and do it too, you know?
And, you know, it's as simple as that, you know? The world, your own personal living space is not going to get clean until you pick up a broom.
Well, and this is the thing I've got to say about the sandwich, okay? I'm going to liken it to this. You got a guy that's starving? Don't stop by and drop him a fish. Get him a fishing pole and a fish.
Yeah.
Show him how to use the fishing pole. Give him the fish for today and let him fish for the rest of his life and help himself. And remember that you came by and gave him a fish and a fishing pole.
Yep.
So as soon as he can do it, you know he's going to go out. And there's a very good chance he's going to find somebody else that he's going to buddy up with or whatever, see they're down, and give them one of his fish he caught that day and a fishing pole that he managed to put himself together, or his old fishing pole, and now that he's got a new one. And he's going to get them, teach them to fish and get them going too and take care of themselves, and it'll just keep perpetrating, you know,
and
just from that one fish.
Another thing that comes to mind because of my personal circumstances in the last few days that pretty much brought me to the state of mind that I'm in right now, because I see people's lack of concerns, you know. when you look at somebody and they have a dream or they have a hope or an aspiration, and you know you're not willing to, you know, at least try to help them make that dream come true, put yourself in their shoes. You know, you can sit around and you can talk about all the bad things that they done, all the wrong choices that they made. But now, in this point and in this time, put yourself in their shoes and ask yourself, would you want somebody else to help you recognize your dream? Would you want somebody else to show you kindness? Or would you want somebody else to say, well, since you were such a bad person and you're in a bad way right now, I feel like you deserve it and I need to continue to make sure that you feel terrible and punish you by not trying to help you realize your dream? Or should you break that chain and just do, out of the kindness of your heart, something good that maybe one day somebody will repeat that same deal and do something kindness for you? You know,
well, one thing that we were discussing yesterday off the air, too, is that the human brain has this incredible ability to develop and grow whenever you're first born. And we know that if you are really kind and you spend lots of time with, you know, an infant whenever it's first born, and you really invest some positivity to that child, they're going to grow up to be a more positive person. Just the same way, if you leave their eyes open and give them plenty of stuff to look at and whatnot, their eyes develop. Whereas if you cover their eyes up and don't let them see any light during that time, they never develop and they're never able to see. And there's got to be a way to reactivate that for these people who are really so seriously damaged that all that you're talking about would do no good. It would basically be wasted on them, because there are some individuals that are like that. And rather than triage them and say, okay, I'm going to just walk past this person because I'm positive, I can't help them, so I can move on to the next person, we need to find that solution. I mean, there's got to be something that can reactivate that. And then all the positivity you give them will have all the same benefit that we would have had if they were only, like, you know, 2 or 3 months old. Well, it'll last, and it'll actually take hold, take root, and grow in them so that they can fully realize the potential of being a human being.
You mentioned that bum, he may really seriously be going out to buy alcohol with that money that you give him. But that may be the only comfort that he's got in the misery that he stands. And if you can't go over there and put a house over his head, but you can make him comfortable in any way, you know, what harm have you done? Seriously, by opening your wallet or your heart or, you know, a smile, what harm have you done by trying to at least show this man or this woman that there is somebody out there in the world who's not 100% selfish, who's not self-centered to the fact that they can't realize that somebody else is in distress?
Right. You know? Well, and I think when you give people money that are sitting on the street and then just walk away, you're reinforcing the fact in their mind that the world is very selfish, and the only reason you did that is because you feel guilty and you're trying to buy off your guilt. Take a moment and spend a little time with them before you walk away. Find out a little bit about them whenever you give them some money to help them out. You know,
yeah, sit down and explain your plight to them. Say, look, you know, I only got $2, and I'm going to give you this $2, but I just wanted you to know that I'm not walking away from you because I don't care. It's just that, you know, this is all I got.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying, though, that a little bit of conversation may be worth a thousandfold the, say, you could have $100 in your wallet, that $100 would have meant to them, you know?
Yeah.
That conversation might be the one thing that's the tipping point where they go, you know what? I was wrong to give up. I'm going to try to do something, and I'm going to, you know, they get up and go get busy back into their life and try to actually solve their problems, maybe go find their relatives that they've, you know, left behind because they felt they were no good to be around them, or they could do no good for them or something, and they give it another shot. I mean, that might be all it takes.
Yeah.
You'll never know until you try.
When people fall on their face flat and they fall through the cracks of community, and when they make mistakes and you're just willing to throw them in the trash and just give up on them, you turn around and try to visualize yourself making a mistake or falling through the cracks and wondering whether or not, you know, anybody could show you forgiveness or empathy that even though you done wrong and they don't agree and it's not It's not a good thing that you harm somebody else. You're willing to just say that, you know, okay, let's just hang everybody who jaywalks across the street. You know, maybe one of these days, for some strange reason, you might find yourself jaywalking.
They're going to be ready to hang you now because you were so vehement about hurting people over that other thing.
Yeah.
Over when you saw it, you know. So.
You know, common sense, man. It's not so common, brother.
No, I was going to say, I've said it, and I'll say it again. Said it before, and I'll say it again. Common sense is so, it seems to be so rare, it's almost like a superpower.
Well, I see Larry's picture setting up in here. What you got on your mind, brother? Anything? You got his mic muted? Larry.
Yeah, you there, Larry?
There we go. I forgot to plug the silly thing in.
Oh, well, you know, kind of helps yeah. When it has some electricity running through it.
Got to know more than a computer. That lets me out.
Yep.
See, that just answered the question, what makes the world go round? It ain't money or love. It's electricity.
Absolutely. Everything is electric and magnetic and vibrates. Everything is exactly the same on a different scale.
So, Larry, what's on your mind and heart? What would you like to share with the world, man? Have you listened in on what we've been babbling about for the last how long ever we've been down here?
Been yapping about?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's time that we got out the corrupt politicians, and it's time to vote. I know that voting doesn't matter and that our votes aren't counted and that the votes are from dead people and all that. But we've got to get out there and get rid of these corrupt politicians, beginning at the top, who is not an American citizen, who is not following the Constitution.
Some dead.
This is the one thing I have a problem with, where they keep going on about him not being an American citizen. I wouldn't care if it wasn't an American citizen in there as long as they upheld the Constitution. Yeah, I think we could honestly take a completely non-American citizens citizen that has just come from a terrible communist country and has been suffering there and put them in that position, and they'll do better than all the presidents that have been in office since JFK.
Yeah, and as far as dead people voting, I don't care if dead people vote, but, you know, if they're going to vote multiple times, then there's a problem with the system. You know what I'm saying?
That's like the corporations voting. It's like, wait a minute, did the owner of the corporation also vote? Isn't that a double vote, you know?
Yeah.
If you're going to say the corporation is an entity and give it a vote, then that means everybody that works at the corporation gets no votes because their vote was cast by the corporation.
Yeah.
It's either or. You don't get to have your cake and eat it too.
And if the corporation...
You get to have your cake and eat mine too, okay?
If the corporation gets the vote, then they should be prosecuted as individuals just like everybody else.
The problem with that is you can't throw a corporation in jail. So there's no point in giving it rights that people get.
Exactly.
It can't suffer the same punishments that people get. So no. No. No, 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 no. You know? I think we should become more proactive. I think we should learn more about what's going on. But I don't think voting right now is the solution. I think the solution is to raise better people so there's less and less evil people that can get into that office. That's the only way we can do this. We've just got to keep pushing more and more good people into the mix until there just isn't any more room.
But you can't do that.
Let's overpopulate the world with good people so the bad people don't have anywhere to live.
Thomas, you're a good person, and if you were to get elected and somebody was to give you $10,000 every day for a year and then come up to you and say, hey, Tom, how about voting this way just for me this one time, okay?
They won't vote me in because there's no way I would do that. If I don't like what they've got to say, the only reason I would vote the way they want me to is because they actually persuaded me with empirical evidence that it was the right thing to do.
Well, and that's the thing. It's called education. It's called knowing who you're pulling the lever for before you actually pull the lever. And if they get in the office and they act counteractive to what they promised. If they can't keep their word, then there are other avenues by which you can have them removed, you know. Wander around and talk to everybody and say, look, did you vote for this guy? Yeah, I voted for this guy. Do you agree with what they're doing? Do you think they're doing a good job? No, I don't. Then,
you know, there's another problem, though, with the voting process, and that's that look at all the pain, suffering, and death that Bush has caused. You know what that guy's doing right now? He's being paid $200,000 to speak at events and painting pictures of kittens. Is that any indication that he has absolutely a shred of remorse over any of the children or the people that were bombed and killed in the wars that he perpetrated on those people?
But is it just Bush?
No,
it's Clinton.
Exactly, and that's just it. These people that are getting into these offices are all corrupt. Left, right, Democrat, Republican. You cannot spend more money to get a job than the job will pay and tell me honestly that you are a legitimate person. You're full of crap. You're a liar.
And therein lies the solution is that you have to get your political system readjusted to the point where they aren't allowed to be bought and paid off. I mean, it's already illegal for them to take bribes.
Here's a simple solution to that.
Take the money out of
this. You know all the problems we're having with surveillance right now and the government watching the private citizen? Turn those cameras around.
Yeah.
Point them where they should be pointed.
That's right. When they put a drone out, you put a drone out.
A citizen is a private citizen. So it's a no-brainer that they get to have their privacy. An office holder is a public servant, so therefore it's a no-brainer. They get no privacy.
That's right.
If you're controlling other people's lives, you don't even get to go to the bathroom without somebody knowing what you're doing. We want to know who you're talking to and what deals you're cutting all the time. And we have the internet, and we've got cryptography, so we should have an online voting system where as soon as somebody's doing something wrong, we can immediately issue a poll, and we can immediately take action for what they're doing. If they're doing something great, immediate action, that's where the money's at.
Yep.
No pay for just being in the office. You get paid when you perform.
Yep.
If you do great good for the people and the people honestly agree that it was great good, then they need to actually reward you for it. If you do great evil, you don't just get a slap on the wrist. You go to prison.
Yeah. That's the way
it
should
be. You go to prison just like everyone else.
That's the way it should be.
Right. It's a responsibility to be in that office. It's not a privilege. It's not something to be taken advantage of.
If you and I were out there committing felonies and was out there counterfeiting money, you and I would be in jail so fast it'd make your head spin. So
that's it. It's a monopoly.
Yeah.
They get to have a gun. They get to have a rape room. They get to have a nightstick. We don't. They get to make money out of thin air and pretend to be alchemists by turning paper into gold. We don't.
Oh, yeah. And then for those individuals out there who would support such a system, such as, you know, the UN running the ad on Craigslist talking about looking for volunteers to go around and do gun confiscations or whatever. Whether that is or isn't, I don't know, because, you know, there's so many conspiracies on the table, which is just ludicrous. But if you are signing up to be a police officer, or you are signing up to be a congressman or a senator, and you are willing to go along with the system just to get along, or to protect your own hide from your own crimes and mistakes that you've made, then you're just as bad as the whole deal.
Just like the whole thing. If you are willing to turn somebody in for not paying taxes, taxes are dollars. That's all it is. It's just money, okay? You are willing to send somebody to prison, have them raped and murdered over a few pieces of paper with some green and black ink on it, then you don't care about that person. You are not their friend. You are an enemy of that person. You are trying to kill somebody by doing that.
Yeah.
And for no good reason. They've done nothing wrong.
You're gonna call up the local authorities because your neighbor's grass is an inch or two tall, or maybe he's got a American flag sitting out in his flower pot, and you don't like it because your homeowners associations, which make me sick to my gut, because that's got nothing to do with freedom. It's got to do with everyone wanting to control what everyone else looks like or says or does or whatever. It's just disgusting. But,
well, and that's just it, though. It's all about manipulating and controlling.
Yeah, but if you're going to call the authorities on your neighbor because their grass is too tall, and the only thing that the authorities are going to do when they get there is try to extort money out of them via threats of violence or jail or whatever.
That's exactly it. It's going to if you keep refusing to go along with what you're being forced to do, it will end in your death.
Yep.
So every threat of control and violence is a death threat.
Yep.
I'm going to turn you in for not mowing your lawn. You just said the same thing as saying, if you don't mow your lawn, I'm going to come over and I'm going to shoot you in your face.
Yep.
And that's the fact of it. And don't glaze over and pretend that it's not like that, because you're just talking about right now them being fine. Because what happens when they decide to refuse to pay the fine? Then they show up with the guns to try to drag them off to prison.
Yeah, if what they happens fight, if they resist?
Then they end up shooting and killing them.
Yep.
They end up killing them. And you have got them killed over some grass. Over something that means nothing. Has nothing to do with your life. It's not your lawn. It's not your business. You don't like the way their place looks? Don't look at it.
Yeah. And if it bothers you so bad, get up over there and go offer them a hand. You know? Cut their grass for them. You know? It's not your business.
Will not kill them.
Yeah.
You have totally subverted being a violent, vindictive, murderous person by being a kind and gentle person, actually helping each other out, you know?
It's that simple. And then people want to sit around and complain about their government. Okay, we the people should be the government, because the way that it was set up, we the people are the government, you know? By the people, for the people, representatives. Does anybody remember that terminology? You elect these folks to go there and try to keep order and work this thing out together in a peaceful manner. So we have people that up there that are supposed to represent us. When they are up there representing you, do like Thomas said, reward them. But when they are not up there representing you, when they are up there totally against everything that they stood on that little podium and put their hand up to swear to honor and protect and serve, and are doing totally the opposite, then you got to take them out. Down.
Well, the next thing, too, is, you know, this taxation system has got to go. If it shouldn't be done, then you don't give money to it.
Yeah.
It's a donation system. If something is really a good idea, you don't have to force people to do it.
Yeah.
Even if they refuse to do it at first because they're being selfish and lazy, they'll end up coming around because it is a good idea.
I'm willing to bet that if you totally canceled out all taxes in all nations, number one, the economies would probably skyrocket in all nations. And number two,
a free market would do that. And we always do better in a free market.
When people started noticing that their roads were kind of shabby and they weren't being maintained, they would get out there and they'd start maintaining those roads. Or they would all call up on their neighbors and say, "Hey, brother, you know, our road down here is kind of rough and I only got like a few bucks. Do you have a few bucks you can throw in the pot?" And the community will come together and they will fix that road. It happened back in the old days, back in the old Western days.
Actually, you can go much further back than that. If you want to claim that roads won't get made unless there's a government, a road is just a trail that leads from where you're at to a resource.
Yeah, but there was also another.
If you tell me that governments have to exist for those roads to exist, then you are telling me that there's a deer government and a deer president that makes the deer trails that lead to the streams and to the food places that they go to eat.
Yeah.
We know that's not true. We know it's not true. The trail is smaller than the road because that's all the deer needs.
Yeah, and there's another example here. Back in the day, if somebody's barn burned down or the church burned down, the community would come together and they'd prop it right back up. They'd build a new church. They'd build a new barn. And they did that.
That doesn't happen now. You know why? Because people are so heavily taxed, they can't even take care of themselves.
Yep.
Let alone helping somebody else out.
So
people would be more generous and would give more to charities and would help more people who were homeless and whatnot if they weren't being taxed 6 and 7 times for every, you know, every increment of money they earn. Understand? You get taxed whenever you are given your money.
And you wouldn't have a middleman. You wouldn't have a middleman between your dollar and that sandwich that you're trying to give to the homeless individual. You wouldn't have people going to jail for trying to feed the homeless.
Let's look at the logistics of it, though. your money on your paycheck, there's an income tax on it, correct?
Yep.
Okay, there's at least a double charge here if you look at the fact you get charged whenever you get your money, and then they take a cut of it when you go to buy something, and you get taxed on top of whatever it is you're buying. Because you're paying that tax, no one else. You're paying the tax on the income, no one else.
Back in the old days, when they got tired of getting taxed without representation, they went and threw all the tea into the doggone bay. Made some tea.
Well, now look, though. If you went out and you had enough money that you got taxed for was something that they could come and see the next year, like a house or a car, what do the next year? They tax you again.
Yeah, it's your property.
Until it's no longer yours, you know?
And what happens...
That's basically taking every dollar that you earn by the time you're done actually getting to really enjoy it, they've essentially taxed about 80% of it away.
Oh, yeah. And whenever you don't pay your taxes, they come and steal your property. When you die, they come and steal your children's inheritance.
Right. You're working for 20 cents and giving 80 cents to good old Uncle Pimp Daddy Sam.
Yeah.
You know?
He's living high on the hog. He's got all the bling around his neck, driving around in a limousine and telling you to reduce your carbon footprint while he's putting a carbon footprint upside your butt.
Yep. Pimp, you know, with the big old pimp slap of the day, you know.
Yeah.
Every day, pat, 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 let me slap somebody. Let me get out my pimp slap drones,
yeah,
you know.
Stay in line, accept your genetically altered foods, accept your poison, and shut up and do as I say and not as I do, stupid.
Yeah, well, that's it, though. It is more do as I say and not as I do. Because we already know they do insider trading, and there's no... There's no, you know, rebuttal on that. They've already passed a law that makes it legal for them to be doing business within the stock market and whatnot, knowing full well, because they're the ones passing the laws, how those laws are going to affect their stocks. So they do all their trading, and that's all insider trading that's supposed to be illegal.
Yeah.
But it's okay for them. It's, again, a monopoly where they get to do something and we don't.
And my favorite one, know your place and shut your face, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, you don't get to have your cake and eat mine too. That stops now. You want to solve the problem with the taxes? The best way for us to solve all the problems we have right now in our government is to stop complying. You can do peaceful non-compliance. Read up on your tax law, hire a CPA, whatever you've got to do, and then file exempt, which is basically nothing more than you telling your employer you will take responsibility for your taxes yourself. And then you, instead of giving that to the government, start a business.
Yeah, go out there and fix a road.
No. You want to do something, you can write off on your taxes.
Yeah, fix a road, a community effort.
Right, just in case old tax man shows up to try to take it, there's nothing to get. You get a big, not only do you get a big fat write-off on your taxes and don't owe them anything, but you may end up with a giant tax credit that now they've got to pay you. And how long is it going to take with them losing money like that before they suddenly lose interest in chasing people who have claimed exempt and are not paying their taxes? And then once their tax dollars start diminishing and going down the tubes and they don't have enough to keep buying their guns and whatnot, that steals away their power and puts it back into the hands of the populace.
Well, that's common sense. That's common sense right there, man.
Here's
the table.
Here's one more bomb I want to drop on everybody, too. Mental bomb. Our government is like an invasive species. Like a plant, that a weed that's growing crazy and is growing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's a tick, a leech, a flea, a mosquito.
Listen, there's more. So what happens to get rid of the invasive species? You wait till a freeze. When it weakens, then you step in and replace it.
Yep.
And we are getting ready to hit a freeze. It's called an economic freeze because we're going to hit another popped bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Just like we did in 2008 whenever we had the housing crisis. And we've got to be ready to step in and say, no more, we've got a better system. We're just going to push that system that's bad out of the way, no fighting, no nothing, and just replace it with something better. And everybody refuses to be a part of the other system anymore because they've found something better. We need to show up whenever everybody is out of gas in the old jalopy they were riding along in with a nice new shiny BMW that gets, you know, 100 miles to the gallon and say, you don't have to ride around that thing anymore, you can ride in this now.
It's coming.
No one's going to stay in that old jalopy except the driver.
Yep. It's coming. It's coming hard. It's coming heavy, and it's going right in your face. The system is coming right after you, and I guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, what they are counting on the very most of all is that your dependence on the governments of the world is going to keep you compliant, because people will do anything for food. If they have control of the food, if they have control of the water, if they have control of the electricity, and people are suffering, they are going to be willing to accept the mark of the beast that's written within my book.
They're stopping people from becoming independent by doing things like, you know, taxing them to death for putting solar cells up and whatnot, so they find there's no reason to get involved in that. You can't disconnect from the grid because you're not producing your own power, because you never got involved, because it wasn't going to pay you back, because they were going to tax you to keep you from ever being able to actually pay yourself back for buying those solar cells. Instead, you end up paying them for the privilege of having them.
And don't gather up rainwater from nature. Don't try to build
Because that's not your right. Yeah. It's the government's right, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, wait a minute. What's wrong with this, man? You know?
Yeah. You pay.
Again, non-compliance. You've got to be non-compliant. It's not necessary to get violent. You just have to stop accepting what's being the shit that's being put on your plate. No other way to say it. Don't eat it. You know, refuse, push it away. You know.
Well, brother, you know, I'm. I just don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. I just don't know what to say or what to do in order to give people. You know,
you just got to keep pushing and networking with people. And when you find somebody that's aware and awake, don't let go of them. You hold arms together and form a wall that can't be broken. That's what will be necessary. We'll have to join hands and hold hands around those young ones that follow behind us so that those that are trying to destroy them can't get to them.
Well, when this system does domino, and it will, it's on its way. You mark it on the calendar. I said it. And whenever if everything goes hunky-dory and nothing occurs, then you can come back and tell me I was wrong. That's fine. But either way, mark it on your calendar. I said it.
It's not that hard to see, knowing you as long as I have, that you'll be more than happy to actually be wrong.
Yeah, I will. I will be happy to be wrong. But, if you don't know how to garden, then you're going to be in some serious trouble. If you don't know how to purify water, then you're going to be in some serious trouble. If you don't know how to create electricity to keep some lights or a fan on, or do some alternative cooling of your food and your house, or heating, vice versa.
Or know people that can do these things.
Then you're going to be
in
trouble.
Maybe throw down your skills that you do have that might not fit in that skill set, but they still have to be done so that those people making electricity and whatnot can, you know, continue doing what they're doing to make sure you have that. I mean,
the wisdom
you got to have cooks, you got to have people that, you know, help take care of things that are necessary for life, clothing, building homes and stuff like that. Learn a skill, man. Learn how to do something for yourself.
The wisdom of their system was to keep you compliant, keep you stupid, keep you uninformed.
Specialized.
Keep you
do nothing else.
Yeah.
And don't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone at all. Nope. Everyone's out to get you.
Yeah, don't trust nobody. Don't talk to nobody. If somebody talks against the government, then they're a terrorist. Don't listen to nothing nobody's got to say. Only the government knows right. Well, you can always trust your government.
You don't trust anybody that you don't network. Which means that you never meet somebody else that does the stuff that you don't do. and it needs the things that you do do.
I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. I'm anti-lack of common sense. If the system is eating you alive and you are so reliant on the system that you're willing to endure even so much as the smallest amount of pain just to be able to be fed and to get along, then you have to expect that this world will never get any better. If you learn how to...
Taxation is slavery. Okay? Everybody says slavery is bad, but the fact is they're still saying, if they say taxation is okay, then what they're saying is some slavery is still okay, and that's not right. No slavery
should be acceptable. No discrimination should be acceptable, you know?
Right. I mean, saying that taxation is okay, that a little slavery is okay, is the same thing as saying a little bit of rape is okay, and no, it's not. A little bit of child abuse is okay. No, it's not.
The ends do not justify the means. When you're talking about taking a drone over to a foreign land to get one suspected terrorist and in the process killing a few innocent people and calling it collateral damage. What if that collateral damage was your house, your mom, your dad, or your child? See,
well, worse still, you find out that the person who sent the drone actually trained the person and indoctrinated the person that they were coming to get.
Yeah, so
they caused the problem that they're trying to solve, you know?
The only way...
All because they wanted to get a little of that precious, planet, that precious planet Earth blood, you know?
The only way to kill the beast is to starve the beast. If you're going to keep feeding the beast with your own soul, your own life, your own freedom, your own food and supplies, then it's going to continue. And if you can't get your act together with your own personal family and then want to sit around and complain about how terrible the world is, you have to practice what you preach. You have to first get up off the couch and be proactive instead of inactive and do something besides being an armchair politic and sitting around and believing everything the lying Democrats say to you or the lying Republicans say to you or the lying politicians in general, those who would get up there and speak with a silver tongue and say, I'm signing this treaty with you, and then turn around and break that treaty and you do not hold them accountable, or you've allowed your society to become so weakened and indoctrinated and drugged and poisoned that they can't even muster up the energy to stand against the tyranny that is eating them alive, then you did it. God didn't do it. Religion didn't do it.
You were saying something earlier there too. I have to kind of say something about it too, and that's that if you don't have your family, your situation with your family within your family straightened out, and you can't straighten it out because you can't force somebody else to do something, but you do not have to stay within that situation and let them continue poisoning you. And I mean, if you have a brother, a sister, a mother, a father that's willing to turn you in and let you be raped and killed over a few dollars because you didn't want to pay those taxes, they're not your friends.
Yeah.
They are your enemies. They hate you and they are willing to kill you just because you are not willing to do what they want you to do. You've got to get away from those people. As hard as it is to do, it's a desert out there when you first exodus out of slavery. But it's got to be done or you're going to remain in slavery. And you can't complain about being stuck in something.
But you know what?
Anybody to feel sorry for you. Don't keep hitting yourself in the hand and saying, oh, look, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Look what happened to my hand. You did that to get my sympathy. No, I'm not sad for you.
Freedom in the desert.
I got other people who really actually deserve my sympathy. I'm going to go give it to them.
Freedom in the desert is much better than bondage in the slave world. And in my view, I would rather be a janitor in heaven than the water boy in hell. And so, with that said, I'm going to try to look. If I got an opportunity to go live in peace and freedom in the desert, I would rather live there amongst the snakes and the scorpions and the heat and the dry air.
They'd be more honest to you.
Yeah, you know they're going to kill you.
I think, you're saying, You'd rather be a janitor in heaven than be an emperor of hell.
No, not an emperor, the water boy. Yeah. You're carrying around this boiling water and you're dying of thirst. Do you take a sip and burn your lips? No, I'd rather be the janitor up there sweeping up the trash of heaven instead of being the water boy in hell, because it's counterproductive. If I'm dying of thirst and I want to take a blistering drink of some scalding hot water, you know, that's the difference between slavery and bondage and stupidity of the system that we find ourselves entwined in, that we keep on feeding. And it's almost like there's this love affair. You know, it's kind of like that Stockholm syndrome.
No. Stock, it's a... just said this the other day, man. That we're cattle. We're cattle for these people.
You're falling in love with
it's
your...
It's livestock syndrome.
Falling in love with your captor, man.
Livestock home syndrome. That's what we said, that basically captured it perfectly.
Yeah.
Stockholm syndrome, you know?
Well, there you go, man.
The cow thinks that the farmer loves them because the farmer feeds them, but, you know, the farmer's still dragging the cow off later and cutting them up to make steaks.
Yep.
We're being indoctrinated in our schools and our media and all of our communication networks. We're being indoctrinated to hate one another, to hate people that aren't like us, to hate difference, to hate change. Mm-hmm. We've got to spread the word.
Yeah.
It's our turn now. The world is waking up. The internet is helping. We can make a difference.
Oh, hey, you nailed it. The internet is the genie they let out of the bottle, and now they can't put it back in.
That's right.
They're scared to death of that thing. I mean, you've got Bitcoin flying around out here. It's doing tremendous amounts of free market effect. And the government doesn't even know what to make of it. They're still sitting there scratching their heads. How do we categorize this? We can't make laws on it if we can't categorize it.
Yeah, how do we get control of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You can't control something. These things that are within the internet, within the realm of information and ideas, are kind of like the wind when it comes to the tiger. The tiger can't scratch the wind because there's nothing there to grasp at, you know?
Well, we are the airwaves.
Until people realize their own true potential, until people stop feeling helpless and sorry for themselves, and until people can show empathy to their own families and their own neighbors, until people can realize that until they get up off the couch, the house doesn't get clean, the neighborhood doesn't get straightened up, nothing happens until action occurs, you know? And until people get to that point, you know, I say this all the time, and it's like preaching to the choir to the majority of the listeners out there, but I say it all the time. It should not take a tragedy to bring a family together. If it takes World War III and total devastation to all of our infrastructure and everything under the sun, then in my mind, I'm almost to the point where I'm saying bring World War III on. Do it now. Destroy everything that is. Burn it all down to the ground. Blow it all up. And those of us who survive that have some common sense will walk in and create a better world and leave the past behind. Now that's a sickening thought, isn't it? It's terrible. That a man with a heart of gold is sitting here saying, yeah, bring on World War III. You know, if you're going to kill me now. Get it done. Get it over with. And let's stop talking about it, because we're not accomplishing nothing as long as we're not being proactive.
You're touching on something, too, that's kind of Abraham Lincoln-ish, where it's better to die one time physically than to die 1,000 times out of fear over and over again.
Yeah.
You know? I would have to say another thing, too, that is something that seems to be completely missed, and that's that the best way you can basically make a change in the world is to be that change.
Yeah.
You want people to succeed, then get off your butt and succeed yourself. If you start working on something and you got other people working on similar stuff now, and it gets a little too tough for you to complete what you're trying to do, and you want to give up, if you're going to give up, fine, give up. But don't trip the other people up who are trying to, that are still trying to succeed and keep plugging forward, you know?
Yeah.
Don't, whether it's jealousy or whether you, you know, you honestly believe they just can't succeed because you can't succeed, whatever it is, you know, it's still, none of that is justification for you to trip that other person up that's trying to succeed the same way you were. And then, you know, you bailed out.
And I said at the beginning of this show that I shouldn't be doing this show today because I'm full of anger and frustration and disappointment and negativity, and I shouldn't be doing this show today because of my own feelings. But the thing is...
You know what? I really think you need to understand that your anger is not wrong. No one has a right to tell you that you don't have a right to be angry about this. Your anger is to all the wrong that's going on around you, what your antibodies in your body are to all the viruses in your body. You want that those antibodies to work their very best and destroy and exterminate those viruses out of your body so you can live and be healthy. And your anger should be treated the same way. You want to focus that and burn away all the evil that's all around you so that the good that's left behind that you're protecting can then flourish and grow and be, you know, become something worthwhile in this world.
Yeah, but I just don't want my words and my frustration to discourage anybody from doing good in this world and make them feel hopeless, like there's no chance for tomorrow to be a better day. We are heading down a path to sure destruction, without a doubt. If you have a brain in your head and you can step out of the box long enough to step back and look at the big picture, common sense dictates, if you go to war, somebody's going to die. If you spread racism, you're going to, at the same time, spread hate and discontent. And while you're stepping out of the box and you're watching all the actions going on in the world and your representatives selling each other out to either corporations or special interest groups, and while you're struggling to take care of your family and you're seeing all the disgruntled family members fighting amongst each other when they should be pulling together, and then you look in even harder and you see that nothing that you're shouting about seems to be heard, and your frustrations are so high that you're ready to just walk away, that is the biggest time that you need to go even deeper and work as hard as you can to wake them up. Otherwise, you just sit back and you said, I throw my hands up, I wash my hands of it all, I'm not even going to open my mouth, let it be, and just go ahead and get World War III on, and let's get it over with, and we'll deal with the mess when it's done. Am I wrong?
I'm going to sit back, I don't want to chip a tooth.
Yeah. I'm passionate, guys.
We can solve the problem, but we've got to do something to solve it. We can't just sit around and do nothing and expect it to just solve itself. That's the problem with the government right now that we have, is that it's, the government is a magic wand that people wave around to solve problems so they don't have to do it.
Yeah, the guys over there.
And magic doesn't work.
The guys over there.
So the problem's not getting solved, it's just getting worse.
The guys over there in America, guys and gals over there that got their water shut off, you know, they're calling in for the UN to come in and run the rescue, like the UN's ever done any good in their lifetime. You know, they've caused more havoc than they've caused more good. Why aren't these communities, instead of saying, look, let's rely on the government, let's beg for help from some foreign government entity, and let's get them to solve our problem, why aren't these people pulling together as a community, taking all their resources, going out and either buying some bottled water or going over to the next state and buying tanks of water and bringing it in to water their community and saying, you know, the government has failed. Let's take this upon ourselves. Let's ensure that everyone has water and everything they need. And then when the government gets their act together, maybe then they'll turn our water on. If they don't, then we'll just continue to go out of our way and benefit each other by going over to our neighbors and seeing if we can
and while we're at
barter
it, tax dollars. You didn't do your job that you promised.
That's right.
Don't get our money.
You don't give
you
me water.
You fail at your job, you don't get paid. You failed at your job, you don't get paid. If you don't do your job at the place you work at right now, the boss will fire you. So guess what? we are the boss, and we're firing you, you know?
All right, guys, well, it's that time again. Boy, sure time half flies when you're having fun, so actually going to run over again because I got to play this song on the way out because I just think it's got a message to it. But anyway, this the time we go around the table and let everybody have their last say, man. So who wants to go first? Don't chip a tooth on the way to the mic.
I'll say something. Just present the attitudes you wish to receive. That's all.
That's profound, and it's good words.
Yes. I'm just going to say, you know, if you're in the middle of doing something and you find it's too hard and you are working with somebody else or somebody else is doing something similar to what you're doing and you decide you want to bail out, don't try to trip them up. Don't start trying to extort things from them and tear their world down and destroy them while they're trying to succeed. Just get out of the way. Let them go ahead and finish the race. You know? Who knows? They might come back and pick you up afterwards with all the benefit that they you know, got from winning the race. But if you try to trip them on the way through, if they succeed at running the race, they're not going to stop at the goal. They're just going to keep running and leave you laying back there on the track because you tried to trip them.
Yep.
You know?
Basically, I'm not going to say peace and love to the world today because it should by now be ingrained in your spirit and your soul, and it should be basic common sense. All I'm going to say on my way up out of here is that if we want the world to be a better place, then it's going to start with you, the individual, in your own personal family, and stop the abuse of the children, stop the abuse of your animals and your land and your life and yourself. And for
so then we'll end this one with me saying live long and prosper.
And how, brother? With that said, listen to the lyrics of this song, because old crazy old King Shaziz, the terrible, the worst person on the planet, I play songs because I feel like they got a message in them. So here we go. So peace and love to everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.